Hi, this is Debbie Voiles, coach at Mojo for Running, with episode number 16 of the Beginner Runner Village podcast. This episode is about tips experienced runners know that will help you as well. These are general tips to make your running training easier. They're not about form or training itself. You'll see what I mean in just a moment. But first, just a reminder that if you want to work with me toward becoming a runner or toward your first 5K, please head on over to the Mojo for Running website and you can read all about how to join the program. And if you haven't already done so, please go to the Beginner Runner Village website to register to receive my Prepare Your Body to Run guide. It spells out how to do the most important exercises to help beginner runners avoid injury and strengthen the necessary muscles for good form and injury prevention. Now, on to the tips for runners. There are myriad little things experienced runners know that would be incredibly helpful to new runners. Why should new runners have to learn them by accident or by trial and error? Sometimes I've been in conversations with runners who are pretty experienced, and I mention a little tip that I assume they know, and lo and behold, they've never heard of it. And they think it's brilliant. Well, it's not really. I've heard from a lot of runners over the years, and we just solve problems sometimes, and it turns out to be something that helps thousands after that. So I don't think I thought of any of these on myself. It's just things that I've heard of that other people had discovered worked for them. So I'm passing them along. I thought today I'd share some of those tips with you. For some of them, you'll likely say to yourself, duh, that's nothing I wouldn't have thought of. But others may surprise you, and I hope you'll find them helpful. Now, because you're a newer runner, you may not be able to apply many of them yet, but there are still three reasons why you might want to know them. One, because as you become more experienced and run longer distances, you'll be less anxious if you know some little tips that will help with problems or make certain situations easier. Two, you'll find them interesting. In some cases, you might say they're just part of running lore, part of the common culture of running, and knowing them will make you feel more like a runner. Number three, because when you see experienced runners doing something, you'll understand what's happening. I don't know about you, but when I see someone, anyone, runner or not, doing something I can't understand, it drives me crazy. For example, when I'm driving down the street and I see a young man wearing his pants so big and so low that he has to walk funny and hold on to his pants to keep them from falling down, this makes me so crazy that my brain hurts. Since I used to be a high school teacher, I've been surrounded by teens with only one good hand because the other was holding up their pants. Happily, this trend seems to be waning, but you know what I mean. Anyway, I want you to understand, and I want you to understand everything you see experienced runners doing and everything you see at races. Here's an example of what I mean. At a race not long ago, a newer runner came up to me, obviously upset. She had just seen a man finish the race, who was bleeding. She said his shirt was streaked with blood and she had a panicked look on her face. That sounds terrible and ominous, but I knew exactly what it was. And while it represented a somewhat painful situation, it is still a very common occurrence among runners and one that, while painful, is not at all dangerous or alarming. The man's nipples had become chafed by his shirt. This happens a lot in longer races, and sometimes they actually bleed. There's an easy remedy, though. There's a product called Nip Guards that men can purchase at local running stores. Voila! No chafing, no pain, no blood. I've known many men who just apply Band-Aids instead, but I imagine these could be painful to remove from a hairy chest. And Vaseline or anti-chafing cream will help for very short races or runs. So, now you have an idea of how knowing these tips can be beneficial. Consider that tip number one. Shoes. Let's talk about shoes. Did you know there are various ways to lace your shoes? Not one or two, but several. I'll link in the show notes to an article that explains various ways to lace and why you choose to lace that particular way. You might wonder why anyone would want to lace their shoes in any way other than the traditional way. Well, you'd be surprised at how much changing the lacing pattern can alter and correct the fit of a particular shoe. If the heel is a little big and slips, there's a way to fix that. If you get a hot or tight spot on the top of your foot, there's a way to lace to take pressure off that spot. And if your shoe rubs on the top of your big toe, there's a way to lace that actually pulls up the front end of the shoe to prevent that rubbing. As far as the question of when you need new shoes, it's a good idea to use a marker to write the date on your shoes when you buy them. After a while, you'll be able to gauge when you need new shoes. There's a right way and a wrong way to tie your shoes, too. You want to use what's called a reef knot. That knot will stay tied and make double knotting unnecessary. I'll link to a video of that in the show notes. If your shoes fit great except for one spot, say because you have an unusual bump in your foot, maybe where a bone protrudes more on your foot, and you've tried many brands and models and nothing accommodates that particular part of your foot, try literally cutting a hole in your shoe. This may seem extreme, but I've worked with people who tried everything else to no avail. One man I worked with just sliced an X in the spot, and that was just enough to give him relief. Seriously, for some people with odd-shaped feet with bones in odd places, that may be the only situation. Of course, you have to accept that it doesn't work the shoes, that if it doesn't work, the shoes can't be returned. This is obviously a last resort kind of thing. Always have at least two pair of shoes that are different brands and at least different models. Switching shoes will keep all your muscles in your feet working more. That's my theory. You don't want your foot muscles to rely too much on your shoes, on the way they fit for support. You want strong feet. Also, if you become married to one particular shoe model that you love, you can count on the manufacturer to change that shoe to the point that it's no longer your favorite. You might be lucky that the manufacturer keeps the model pretty much the same for several years, but it never fails that eventually they change it to the point that you have to move on. So, if you have been wearing at least two different models, it won't be such a big deal when that happens. Alternate shoes because, as the theory goes, the sole will get compressed. So you want to give it time to decompress between wearing. Not sure if I believe this one, but it could be true. If you run on trails, you may want to get gaiters to keep rocks and twigs from getting into your shoes. Just do an internet search for running gaiters, spelled G-A-I-T-E-R-S. You can get them in a wide array of patterns. Let's talk about how to carry things. That's always an issue for runners. What to do with your keys, your ID, your phone. Women have many more options than men in this case. No matter how little cleavage you have, there is still a little space that can be used to stow keys, etc. Of course, that would be terribly uncomfortable and not too secure, so here's a secret. Attach your keys or your key fob to one of those little carabiners, like you can buy those in, say, some of the big box stores to attach keys on. Carabiners like you. They're kind of like mountain climbers use, only the ones they sell, I think, in the big box stores are just copies of the real ones. Anyway, then you can hook your keys onto that and hook that around your bra strap and then tuck it all in between your skin and the bra. And to make it soft and comfortable, you can use a baby booty or a small sock and put the keys actually in that and then tuck that between your bra and your skin. That way it won't chafe. It shouldn't chafe. So that's what I do and it works really well. And because I have the carabiner attaching them, I know I'm not going to lose them. Voila, an instant portable pocket. A sock can be used to house a plastic bag containing toilet paper. Better to be prepared. When you run in the woods, there are no porta potties, and even at races, when there are porta potties, you never know when they may be out of toilet paper. Of course, there are many styles of pouches and carriers available at running stores. My advice is to experiment with different styles. If you want to carry your phone, well, it all depends on what style of phone, what size you have, which of the pouches will work for it. When you try them on, be sure to jog around a bit in the store, at least a little bit, so that you can see how they're going to feel. I have a couple that are attached with magnets to my shorts that I'm just married to. I use them sometimes, like if I go to an art festival, even if I don't want to carry a purse. that's just big enough that I can put my cell phone in there, keys, a couple of dollars, driver's license, a credit card, and then it, depending on which brand you buy, it clips over your shorts. I always do it in the back, and it fits like in the small of my back. And you can't even see it with a shirt over it, so that works great for me. A frequent problem, though, with things that fit around the waist is that while they can be adjusted to fit snugly so as not to bounce around, they may gradually become loose as you run. To avoid this, once you have it adjusted to fit just right, use a safety pin to pin the part that's doubled up next to the buckle. That would be not the ones I just described. The ones I described that I use are, it's like a big pocket, and it folds over your waistband, and there's a magnet in both sides of it, and that holds it still. But the ones I'm talking about where you need to fasten with a safety pin, that's something that's, it's similar, it's a pocket, but instead of being attached with magnets that fold over, instead there's a kind of a plastic band that goes around your waist and clips, so it's sort of a belt. But the thing is, these have adjustable straps, but as you run, the straps can actually loosen as you run. That's an issue that I've had. So I use a safety pin to pin through both layers of that strap so that it can't slide and get loose while I run, because, you know, it's very irritating if you find that the pouch you're carrying keeps loosening up as you run. Several companies are now making pouches, like I said, that have a magnet in them. And those, I even have an iPhone 6 Plus, and mine, I have one of those pouches that fits. So that's my carrying item of choice right now. But check how it works in different places. I like mine in the back, like in the small of my back, but you might like it on your side or in the front. Anything that works for you. Here's a related tip. Even if you have a pouch of some kind that you can put your key in, pin your key to the inside of the pouch. Some pouches come with a clip for your key. My pouch actually has a zipper. That way, when you take out your phone or anything else, you don't run the risk of having your key fall out. And the most serious place to lose your key or anything else is in a porta potty. I used to have a very small iPod Nano. Well, I guess all the Nanos were small. It was so small that I used to put it in the pocket in my Nike Tempo running shorts. It fit perfectly. But once at a race, when I slid down my shorts in a porta potty, it went flying out into the air. As you can imagine, it was a horrible, horrifying moment as I watched it fly in the air. The good news, well, if there was any, was that it didn't fall in. It landed on the floor. But who wants to pick up anything or touch anything that falls on the floor of a porta potty? Ever since, I've been extremely careful to make sure everything is carefully, safely tucked away and secured. An option for carrying your key is to just pin it to your shorts with a safety pin. Most shorts come with a pocket, but you still might want to pin it to make sure it won't fall out. Here is a counting tip. I got this from my daughter. If you're running repeats around a loop, it's irritating to try to keep track because you can't let your mind wander and relax. And the smaller the loop, the more attention must be given to counting. My daughter, Wendy, taught me this one. She used to run laps around a small neighborhood park during her lunch hour. There were trees everywhere. She'd pick up a leaf every time she passed the place where she started her loop. Then, when she finished the run, she could open her fist and count the leaves and compute the distance she had run. Pebbles can be used in the same way. Safety. Always tell someone where you're running and what time you leave. Even if it's just to leave a record in your house, make sure there is a record somewhere, or make sure somebody knows when you started your run and where you started your run. As I record this podcast right now, I know my daughter, Wendy, is actually hiking in the Grand Canyon. And I got a text from her and I live in Tampa, so I'm nowhere near there. I got a text from her a few hours ago saying that she and her husband were leaving, where they were leaving from, and when they were coming back. So, you know, that's the kind of thing you want to get in the habit of doing. You want to always let people know where you are. If you're going to be out after dark, of course, wear reflective clothing. It's a must, but even better, or in addition, add a headlamp. You can get a pretty decent one for about $25 to $45, but be sure to get one that has a blinking light in the back. The light on your forehead will keep you from tripping by illuminating your path, hopefully. The one in the back will help cars to see you. Running illumination comes in many shapes and sizes. If you run in the dark a lot, I recommend spending the money on a really good headlamp. I've also seen knuckle lights, which I haven't had an opportunity to try, but I like the idea, and I have seen people carrying small flashlights as well. You can even get a light to clip to the bill of your cap. I used to have one that I paid about $5 for. It wasn't great, but in a pinch, it was better than nothing. And I suggest keeping your light, if at all possible, in your car so you've got it when you need it. Write your name and emergency contact information on the back of your race number when you race. And related to that, when you race, always write the date, name of the race, if it's not on the front of the race number, and your time on the back of your number, and save the number. One day, you'll have a box full of those numbers, each a treasured memory, and it will be fun for you to look back and see what your time was in the different races over the years. Now for a few tips about apparel. If you try on a pair of running shorts and you don't like the way the built-in underwear fits, cut them out and just wear the shorts with your own underwear that fit well and feel comfy. If you're going into the woods, be sure to take a map. Even if you're sure you know the route, it's easy to get distracted and all of a sudden realize you're not where you plan to be. A map could save you a lot of aggravation in such a situation. Another thing related to that, and this is also safety, if you're going to be running very far off the beaten path, I mean, if you're going into the woods and running, always take extra food and extra hydration, because if you did get lost, that would help a lot. Take an extra clothing too, if it's, say, at a time of year when it might get cold. If you did get lost, it would be, you know, really important to have that kind of thing. And here's a related tip. Anytime you have a map or any other sheet of paper you want to protect, laminate it. But you don't need to actually use a laminating machine. Just use clear packing tape. I very often have made printed out from the computer maps of trails for my group. And what I do is, after I print them out, I use scissors and cut out around the important part of the map so that the sheet of paper I'm using is really relatively small, like a few inches in diameter. Then I take clear packing tape and just run it back and forth over both the front and the back and then trim it. That way, if it gets wet, if I sweat on it, it's still perfectly good. To protect your car seat, one common thing that runners do is they use old race t-shirts. That's kind of cute. After you've done a few races, you'll start to collect lots of race shirts, far more than you'll ever wear. And some of them, honestly, are so ugly. And the other thing is, some of them, this hardly ever happens anymore, but once in a while, you still get one made of cotton. That kind of dates a race and says, hey, we're cheap if they give you a cotton shirt. But anyway, eventually you're going to have a lot more shirts than you need. So that's a good way to put them to use. So if you wear smaller shirts, you might, and you know you're not going to actually wear the shirt, then what you might do is get a larger shirt if you think you might want to use it on the seat of your car. If you don't particularly like the design, or if you can't get the size you want, which happens a lot, just take an extra large one and put it on your car seat for protection, and then you'll feel like you've gotten your money's worth. If you have chafing issues, which virtually everyone does, there are multiple products on the market that will help. One well-known brand is Body Glide. Carmex makes a similar product, and some people just use Vaseline. This is good for the area where your thighs rub against each other or where your shirt may rub on your upper arms. This probably goes without saying, but always, always, always keep a full set of running clothes in your car. And always carry plastic bags of various sizes in your car. They can be used for sweaty clothes if you change to go out with friends for breakfast or something after a run, or for wet clothes if it rains, or to put your phone in if it looks like rain when you leave for a run, for dirty trail shoes, and you'll find many other uses. Also, always be prepared for rain. I did a whole podcast on this once, but the most important piece of gear for running in the rain is a hat. Seriously, always have a visor or a hat handy, because most people find that they actually love running in the rain, but everyone complains about water running in their eyes. No one seems to like that. Another valuable piece of emergency rainwear is a plastic bag. Take a garbage bag and cut a hole in the center of the bottom for your head, and then cut two holes at the corners of the bottom for your arms. That will work very well in a pinch, and it can be used to keep you warm until you get warmed up when it's windy out. Plus, of course, it's disposable. If it's cold out, the two most important areas to cover are your head and your hands, because you'll lose a lot of heat there. Sometimes just wearing gloves will make a huge difference in your comfort level on race day. What I suggest, though, is don't go out and buy a pair of $20 or $30 running gloves. Go to a place like a 7-Eleven or Walgreens, or just, there are a lot of different places where you can buy they're usually black gloves, very plain. You can buy them for $1, $2, or $3 a pair. And always keep an extra pair of those in the car and a couple spare pair. And that way, you'll always have them when you need them. When you go to a large race, or any race for that matter, determine a meetup spot for post-race, a landmark that can be easily found, and make sure everyone has everyone else's phone numbers. You may be with a friend and neither is going to carry a phone, but maybe your friend's husband will be there for support. Make sure you know his number, even if you would have to borrow someone's phone to call. If you are going to be watching friends running a marathon or half, and you're worried about trying to find them, or if you're going to be the one running in a race and you're worried about somebody trying to find you, here is a key. Find certain spots along the race route. Get a helium-filled balloon and then tell them at which intersections you plan to be standing, or they can tell you where they plan to be standing if you're the one doing the running. This works very well. I have a friend whose husband runs the Boston Marathon every year, and she said she always gets a SpongeBob SquarePants balloon, and it makes it easy for her to find him or for him to find her. She always tells him, they always plan the night before, where she'll be, what intersections, and then she's easy to spot with that SpongeBob SquarePants balloon. Along those same lines, it helps if you and or the runner wear unusually colored shirts or hats. The worst thing you can do from a spectator standpoint is to wear the race shirt, because that will be the most common shirt on race day. Makes it very hard for anyone to find you. In the United States, only maybe a tenth of all participants in a race will wear the race shirt. However, in some other countries, it's expected that virtually everyone will wear the race shirt. That's the custom. In those cases, the runner could wear a hat to set them apart from the throngs of similar-looking runners. Okay, that's all for today. That's a lot of tips, and I have more, and I'll do another tips podcast later. I plan to do another running tips podcast soon for Mojo for Running as well. That will include these and several more that are aimed more for people who are running longer distances. You may find them interesting, though. If you have any tips to share, please email me and I'll add them to my next tips episode. Runners are creative people, and they're always coming up with ideas. Now for today's quote. It's short, but oh so powerful. If not now, when? I said it was short, but please, if you haven't yet started running, give those words some serious thought.